conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show glad to see we have some young people here. But you're talking to each other, so you're not hearing what I'm saying.
Oh!
And now they looked up in alarm because I pointed them out. I'm glad that you young people are here. Let no one look down on your youth. That's better, I think. Are we okay with your recording range? It's all this gadgetry here. Oh, I tell you, you get close to that. All right. Let no one despise your youth. No one has a cause to despise your youth if you are an example. And you older people, don't despise the youth. We look down on the youth many times, especially in our culture. Let's see what Jesus says about that. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Well, the reason they were saying that, Mark's gospel in chapter 9, says they were having a debate about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus called them out on that. Hey, what were you guys discussing along the way? Who is the greatest? Oh, let me tell you who the greatest is. He took a child to himself. Set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So in, just read here in Mark 9 real quickly. Verse 35, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he set him before them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. Whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." If you express love to the children, you've expressed love to Jesus. It shows that your heart is attuned with the heart of Christ, which is attuned with the heart of God who came to save the little children. And unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Never. Well, that's kind of shocking. I'll tell you something about little children. Little children don't have their own wisdom. Some of you parents are going, "Oh, you got that right." Little children don't even know how to clothe themselves. Little children don't know how to feed themselves. Little children don't know how to clean themselves. You drop a little child off at Walmart and say, "See you at home." He doesn't know the way back home. Little children are completely dependent upon their father for wisdom, for guidance, for cleansing, for feeding. I've never seen a little child that, if you ask them questions they don't know, I don't see them boasting. Jesus says we have to humble ourselves as a little child or we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. We don't know the way home, do we? If Jesus hadn't come and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except by me, we wouldn't know how to reach the Father's house, would we? We don't have the wisdom in life. I know in the midnight, we honestly pray these things. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help and direction. But if somebody else says, I don't even think you know what you're doing. What? Now we get offended. We're humble in the midnight, but not if somebody else recognizes the same lack in us. Well, it kind of cancels our humility, doesn't it? We should rather say, you know, you're right. I really need the wisdom of God, not my own understanding. We don't know how to clean ourselves. Muslims think if they do ablution, you know, and they do this and they think they're going to be clean. Our cleansing comes from Jesus. Our wisdom, our guidance, our direction, our feeding from the bread that comes down from above that gives life to the world. Unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. So why are you talking about who's great? You want to know who's great? Here, see this little child? He's great. Because he demonstrates the true essence of real spirituality. And if we're seeking greatness and comparing ourselves with one another, how smart we are and how much Bible we know and how long we've been Christians, and my grandfather was the one that laid the foundation of this chapel. Well, if that's our mentality, we're far from the kingdom of heaven. We need to value the little children. Children, let no one despise your youth. You know why? Because God loves the youth and God uses the youth. How old was any of you children? How old was Joseph when God gave him that vision with the stars and the sun and the moon? You remember that? Any of you children, how old was Joseph? Close. No. Good. Somebody said it. Mijo. I asked the children, and this small boy answered.
He died right here.
17 years old. Huh, that's not very old, is it? When Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken from Israel into Babylon. The scripture describes them in chapter 1 of Daniel, I think, four times as the youth. Oh, did God use Joseph? Did God use Daniel and his three friends? What about David, the young shepherd boy? His big brothers, they were out waiting to do the battle and walking around, you know, with all of their armor and shouting the war cry and not shooting one arrow. This whole army was there. Pump, facing the Philistines for 40 days, and nothing happened until this little boy showed up and he goes, "Hey, let me go out there. I can take this giant." Because this little boy had killed the lion and the bear with his little sling. Saul says, "All right, here, take my armor." David says, "I can't walk in this stuff." God will use you with what he's trained you in. God will use you with what he's equipped you in. God will use you to do great things with the little things that he has already worked in you. He that's faithful in a very little thing will be faithful also in much. And if you are responsible to do even that small thing, God's going to give you big things. Don't let anyone look down on your youth and people. Don't you look down on the youth. Timothy, let no one despise your youth. Back in Matthew 18, verse 10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. Guess what? All of you big Greek scholars, same Greek word. 1 Timothy 4:12, same thing here in Matthew 18, 10. Good. See, now you can feel like an adult again because I told you big head stuff. Don't despise them. Jeremiah. Oh, we got to look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah says, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' because everywhere I send you, you shall go. All that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord God." The Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. I can't speak. I am a youth. Don't say that. God uses the youth. Who is going to reach the people in your class? You're a senior in high school. I know. I heard that. Who is going to reach the seniors in that class? And you back here, I know you are probably still in elementary school. Who's going to reach those elementary school students? You go, "I don't know what to say." Oh, all right. No problem. You see this? Let me show you. This is one piece of paper. And you know what's written on this one piece of paper? It's called a gospel message. And you take this one piece of paper and you fold it like that and fold it like that and you go, "Oh, that looks kind of nice." I do these in my living room in our little one-bedroom apartment in Virginia. You just print them off. Make up your own track. And you say, "I don't know what to say." Fine. Get some good gospel message, simple thing for your friends, whether in elementary school or high school or whatever it is. You're going to the grocery store, whatever it is. Print off some of these things. Fold them up. Put them in your pocket. And the people say, "Yeah, well, I have a question. And, you know, why did God do this and do that?" And you say, I don't know. I say that a lot of times. I don't know, but come to Jesus. Come and see. There you go. Oh, I'll ask somebody and see if I can find out the answer. Don't get intimidated. Who does Jesus use as his evangelist? Some funny people. He cast all these demons out of this guy in Mark chapter 5. And you know what he said? Now that the demons are gone, I want to enroll you in the Bible school that I've established in Jerusalem. There'll be a new converts class, and then we're going to go to basic Bible survey, and following that, we're going to get into all of the criteria for doing evangelistic work, and that's on level 101 and 201 and 301 and 401, and when you graduate... That's not what Jesus said. It's not who his evangelists are. His evangelists are people that have a testimony. And it doesn't mean you've got all the answers. It means you know Jesus. He's done something in your life. You know that he has transformed you. Here's this guy who had the demons cast out. What did Jesus say? Go and tell your people what great things the Lord has done for you. You say, that was irresponsible. We don't do that in our day and age. Well, maybe that's why we have so many problems. Here is this woman who had this issue of blood for years. She pressed through the crowd. She touches the edge of his garment and... Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples say, there's a lot of people around here, you know, kind of no elbow room. He said, no, someone touched me. Power went out from me. And the woman said, he knows. And she was afraid and she came up and she told everything. That's his evangelist. Here's a guy that was born blind. And Jesus healed him, and he saw. And the Pharisees say, what are you doing on the Sabbath? Well, this guy healed me. Who did that? Well, how did he do it? Well, I don't know. He just told me to go, and I came back seeing. I don't believe that's true. Where's his parents? Is this guy, is he the one? Well, you know, he asked him. He says, here's what I know. I was blind, and now I see. Simple. You're an evangelist. You're preaching the gospel. And you have a testimony. The woman at the well in Samaria. She goes, hey, come see this guy. He told me everything I've ever done. And the whole village comes out. And the whole village believes in Jesus. From the testimony of one woman of former dubious character. She had living water, though. Is this the Christ? Not a very strong message, was it? But it was enough because there was a reality in the change in her life. If you have a change in your life, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, you can be an evangelist. If you don't know how to do this on the computer, somebody in your house does. It's simple. It's cheap. And this way you can have a message even though you don't know all the answers. Let no one despise the youth. God uses youth. I've transgressed. I'm 2 minutes over. Sorry.